Oh my goodness, yes. Oh yes, 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 yes. Thanks be to God, yes. Oh yes, yes. Oh, yes, 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 yes. There are a whole bunch of Phoebes in here this morning. Now you may wonder why I'm saying that, because this is really what the sermon should be about this morning. This is what Biff asked me to do. And I'm paying you a tremendous compliment when I'm calling you Phoebe. That's based on this first two verses of the 16th chapter of Romans. Now, Paul was finishing up the book of Romans, and he was going to send it to Rome by Phoebe. There's reason to believe that she really was going to take the message there. Now, it's interesting that he could have put Phoebe at the last and said, by the way, this is coming to you from our friend Phoebe. Take good care of her. She is a wonderful lady and an important member of our congregation. And if he'd put her last that way, that would have gone over all right. But instead, he put her at the very beginning. Now, there are 26 different people that Paul lists in the 16th chapter of Romans. And after Phoebe, he starts out with Priscilla and Aquila. Now, he knew them a lot better, I think, because they had lived in Rome, and I'm sure they gave him a lot of pithy portions of pertinent perceptions about Rome that enabled him to pen this letter. But he put her first, and the first two words out of his mouth, figuratively speaking, were, "I commend." Now, he is offering up tremendous praise, recognition of Phoebe by beginning with those two words, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe." Our sister. I want every gentleman in here to understand that I consider you my brother. I want all of you ladies to understand that I consider you my sister. And I can say this, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And when I say you're my brother and you're my sister, what I'm saying also is that you have every right before God to call on me anytime you need anything you think I can do for you. That's a legitimate statement. And I want you to take it very seriously. If you ever think I can do something for you, call on me. I'm your brother. That's what Paul is saying about Phoebe. She was a member of the church in Cenchrea. And Cenchrea was the seaport for Corinth. Now, I've been in a lot of seaports around the world, in Asia and in Europe. Seaports are not exactly noted for their theological commitment to Christ. People come into these ports from all over the world, and they bring their beliefs and their attitudes and their behavior. And I've had some interesting experiences with what goes on. When I served with a Marine battalion, one time I was stationed with them on Okinawa. This is back in 62. And we drew BLT duty. That stands for Battalion Landing Team. We were set apart on three ships, headquartered in Subic Bay in the Philippines for that purpose, ready to go at a short notice if we were ever needed. And when these Marines went on liberty and would come back, they would come see me. Some of them wanted absolution. And sailors aboard the ships, I've been aboard, served aboard, same way. Nonetheless, in Cenchrea, Phoebe was a member of the church, and she did an outstanding job as a member of Christ's church. So Paul begins by saying, our sister Phoebe, and he says that she was a servant, that she had helped a lot of people. Now, I like to think that Gail and Linda can remember people in this congregation who have come to church, come to your office, and said, I'm here, what can I do? That makes your day. That's the kind of person Phoebe was. She looked around to see what she could do to help others, and she made herself available to help. We are a family here. And we need to look after each other, to take care of each other, and to feel free to call upon one another. But we also need to serve the cause of Christ. And it shouldn't be that Biff stands up here and begs, we need help here, we need some people to do this, we need some people to do that, we need some people to do the other. It should be that people are coming here and saying, I'm available, tell me what I can do. And that's the kind of person we think Phoebe was. Paul doesn't say a whole lot about Phoebe, but what he does say gives us license to read between the lines. I don't hear this anymore, but when I was growing up during the 30s, 40s, and 50s, I would hear occasionally a man talking to another man, and he was talking about a third man, and he said, I trust that man with my life. I stake my life on that man. And the other man would not nod knowingly. And you can read a lot into that short expression. It's a man that was trustworthy. If he said he would do something, you could take it to the bank. And we have people here who are the same caliber. So Phoebe was a lady who went looking for seeing what she could do to serve the cause of Christ. Now, Paul also indicates she was a servant. Now, you've read some of it, heard some of it this morning, but I'd like to read to you three passages of Scripture. In Luke chapter 22, verse 27c, that means that chapter is divided up into three sections. Excuse me. I am among you as one who serves. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 to 28, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. And finally, Matthew 23, verse 11. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. You remember a few weeks ago when we got in our bulletin that long sliver of paper that had on there, whom am I going to bless this day for Jesus? I've got that in my study right where I can see it. And I look at it and I ask God, especially when I go out of a morning, I ask God to give me some divine appointments and to help me be a blessing to others. And he leads me to do it. Trust him. It's easy to believe that Phoebe was that kind of a Christian in the church at Cenchrea, a seaport town of Corinth, where her influence helped a lot of people. We need to be salt and light in this community, holding fast and true. Now, you don't need to go to people and say, well, what you're doing is a sin, you're going to go to hell. That's not going to win friends for you. We need to live the Christian life to be above and beyond being found to be unchristian in our thinking, in our words, in our behavior. We need to hold fast to the teachings of Christ. There's that passage in the 12th chapter of Romans. Therefore, I beseech you. Paul is saying, I beg you, I implore you, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And if I can paraphrase it, to hold fast to the will of God and the teachings of Christ. If you and I will adhere strictly to that and live it out with a spirit of love and honest to God, want each day to do something for Jesus that will please him and cause him to say, oh, that blessed daughter of mine, or my sister, because Jesus is our elder brother, that blessed sister of mine, I'm so pleased with what she's been doing today. He surely said that about Phoebe, and I know a few of you ladies in here that I could think with all my heart that Jesus says the same about you. One of these days, you and I are going to die. There's a saying, 'tis only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Hold firm to what you know to be the standards God has set forth for us in his pod, his plan of the day, Holy Scripture, the Bible. Remember I said before, we are required to read the plan of the day every day because there are orders in the plan of the day and useful information. And there are orders here when Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Let us pray. Oh God, when we read your word that Jesus uttered in the Sermon on the Mount, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, so that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Father, when we read that, we like to think, hey, Jesus, this is the real world, friend. This is not back in Roman times. This is the real world. And he can say, it hadn't changed, son. It hasn't changed. But the only way we are going to overcome the evil and the machinations of Satan in this world is to use love. That means we are to be kind to them, to offer to help them any way we can to alleviate their situation and to enable them to see in us love. Oh God, it's not easy. And you know it, and we know that you know it, but we know that the more we give of ourselves and our substance to others, the more empty space we create that you yearn and long to fulfill if we would just allow you to do so. And surely we have discovered that the more we do for others, the happier we become. So guide us moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, in the straight and narrow that we pray one day is going to bring us home to thee. And dear Father, it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, to whom be glory now and forevermore. It's in his holy name we ask it all. Amen.